This is the Pick of the Bunch by Basic Bananas, where we share the pick of the bunch when it comes to marketing, business, and people. Welcome back. This is Christo here, and in today's episode, I'm talking with Kevin Bees. Kevin is one of our head facilitators of the Clever Bunch program and also works with a lot of the high-level business owners here through Basic Bananas. Now, in this episode, we go through a lot around mindset because there's no shortage of strategies when it comes to marketing and things that we provide and processes, but he goes through how we can elevate ourselves so that we don't get held up, because there's two parts to business success, which Kevin believes. There's the strategy, and then, of course, there's the mindset. So we need to get our mindset in the right place, just as important as the strategies we need to use to follow to grow our business. So in this episode, all around the mindset to get you focused and take things to the next level. Enjoy the show. So welcome to the show, Kevin.
Christo, great to be here.
Thank you very much for joining myself and our listeners today, and a bit of an expert as you are in this whole mindset space, and having worked with so many businesses and kind of, I guess, helped them turn around and turn their figures around and do all sorts of amazing things, we thought who better to talk to about this topic of basically the mindset of high-performing people. So do you want to start off, give us basically maybe from your perspective, like what is I guess a good mindset. What is a high performing mindset in the first place, and versus like a bad or destructive mindset that you'd see?
Yeah, really great question. And I guess in my time, Chris, I've had the privilege of working with a whole heap of people, including the likes of the Admiral of the US Navy, a Nobel Prize winner, someone with a PhD from Harvard and teaching psychology there, senior execs from Nike, world champion athletes, like New York Times bestselling authors. There's been a whole mix there. And what I recognize, certainly in terms of the mindset, is we can have either a growth mindset or a fixed mindset. So a lady called Carol Dweck talks about people who have success in life have a growth mindset. They're open to learning new things. They're open to growing, and they're open to finding new ways. So even if there's an obstacle or something in the way, they're very much open to learning and growing in that space. People who have a fixed mindset are people who think that things are always going to be the same way. Things are never going to change, and hey, there's no point learning anything else or developing anymore because, hey, I'm never going to get there.
Yeah, I'm hearing you.
I would say that would probably be the key thing, fixed and growth mindset. Of course, within that is this internal dialogue that we all have a voice in our heads. We all have this internal voice in our head. Now, we can be supportive or empowering to ourselves with our voice, or we can be very destructive and beat ourselves up. I can recognize this very frequently with my clients, particularly business owners. We can be very tough on ourselves because we're driving so hard, we're push, we're looking to achieve, and we can get focused internally on what we haven't done yet. And then we can beat ourselves up internally, call ourselves all sorts of names, and that becomes quite destructive. It holds us back, it creates those limiting beliefs, it creates those doubts so that we don't feel great and then we don't take the action. Whereas what I recognize in some of those people that I work with who have had that major success in these top performers, they really keep on top of that. They really stay quite honed in on that internal dialogue. They make sure that they're supportive, they're encouraging, they're focusing on the right things. And we can jump into that a little bit further, perhaps with one of your next questions, but they have a really clear understanding of where they want to go. And then the internal dialogue is supportive and helping them focus on how do they get there, not what's wrong, what's been bad, what's gone wrong, but hey, here's where I want to go. How do I get there?
Awesome. And I see it. I guess it's something normal, isn't it? Like the little voice never ever goes away, because you've mentioned some pretty amazing human beings there. And I think often, you know, us commoners, we might look at someone like that and think they are some sort of crazy superhero that, you know, has never had a negative thought in their life. However, I guess it's something we all live with, but as you've said, it's just how we deal with it as well. Like I know for myself, what was just coming to mind as you were saying that, you said the little voice in the head, and I actually flashed back to professional surfing days. And even now, like I still compete a bit more when it's convenient now and for our teams and things, but I'm a seasoned veteran when it comes to a competition. I might be going into a heat where I'm pretty confident, you know, this will go my way. However, still a little voice will come up inside my head just before I, you know, walk out into the competition. And I might hear the little voice and it's like, you know, whatever now, but it's still there. Like it still comes up trying to mess with me in a way.
It does. It messes with all of us, right?
Yeah. So what do you do with this kind of thing? And what's the actually, it'd be just kind of interesting. I'll throw this at you. I'm not sure you're ready for this question or not, but the have you seen any businesses where you are working with someone and they might be a bit down, and then they've turned around? Like an example of someone who's kind of like beating themselves up all the time or having a negative focuses on things, and then suddenly they've shifted or, you know, or turned, and it has made them more money, or it's, you know, brought them more success or just more happiness or something like that?
Like massively. And there's so many examples I can share with you. And let me pull together all of those strings of conversation, because we're talking about that little voice, right? And let me talk about the little voice, and I'll give you some examples around it. So the little voice really comes from this, the part of our brain at the back called the amygdala. Like, it's almost like an almond sliver of our brain. It's our prehistoric brain. It was the part of our brain that was used to keep us safe. So that part of the brain is always giving us that negative chatter, because it's always looking out for what's wrong, what can go wrong. It was designed to help us. Is that mammoth going to come over and eat us, right? It's always looking out for the fears so it can keep us safe. But what's happened, we've evolved as a species, and we have this big front of our brain now called the prefrontal cortex, where we can have logic and we can reason with it. But what happens, I guess, the default position for most of us is that this amygdala is always looking at how to keep us safe, of course, and that could be negative. Like, Christo, don't go into this competition because you might not win, or don't go into this competition because you might fall and, you know, break your neck, like, or whatever the chatter is. But it can happen very frequently. Don't go and do that presentation because they might not like you. Don't go and speak to that person because they might reject you. That's the amygdala just trying to keep us safe. Now, if we can hear that, if we hear it and don't buy into it, that's probably the very first start, because it's when we buy into that default position that we can stop ourselves from doing things. Hey, I won't come across and speak to that person because they might reject me, or I won't go do my presentation because they may not like it, right? That's when the negative chatter really gets to us and we don't move forwards. And we all have fears, so we all recognize that. What we need to recognize is this fear real, or is this something that my brain is trying to do just to keep me safe? Now, in your instance, I guess you knew with the surfing competition, like, I've done this a million times, I can just jump on the board and go and do this anyway, right? So you were able to rationalize with yourself and take yourself off and do it. What we need to do as a group of business owners, how do we do, if we have this negative voice or negative chatter come into our head, we need to take control of what we're focusing on, right? Because in any given situation or any given moment, what we focus on, we feel. Right, so if I'm about to go and do a big presentation, I'm going to pick presenting as an example because most people have a fear around presenting. If I'm about to go and do a big presentation, that amygdala is probably going crazy. They won't like what I've got to say. They won't like my message. They won't find my jokes funny. You know, it can be doing all of these things. They're going to reject me. They're never going to ask me back. They won't pay me. Like, all whatever it is, right? And so what we need to do in that moment is we need to shift our focus, right? Tony Robbins, who's a guy that I work with a fair amount, he says, what's wrong is always available, and so is what's right. Now, what I like about that is we can focus on the things that are wrong, that we're concerned, that our nervousness is, or we can shift our focus and focus on something that's going to make us feel better. Now, in that situation with the presenting, if I shifted my focus from me and what's going to go wrong, and instead I shifted my focus onto the audience that I can serve and how I'm going to make a difference to them, and how this material that I've spent so long preparing is actually going to change their thinking, change their business, change their profit. If I put my focus on that instead, wow, it makes it so much easier for me to go and do that presentation. That internal voice kind of calms down because it's not about me anymore. I'm focusing externally on what a difference I'm going to make. So, long-winded answer to your question is, if we can hear that voice and shift our focus, when we shift our focus, we get a different feeling and then we can take a different action. So, long-winded answer, but hopefully that comes back to the question you were asking.
Yeah, definitely. Because I can see it in total two different settings too. So I'm just thinking, say the focus is a negative thing, like we've just had, yeah, like stuff's going bad all over the place. I'm just thinking for business owners listening, sometimes everything just gets too much. You know, it's like the family's freaking out. The business is suddenly struggling. A team member's ripped them off or something. You know, it's like, where do you start, like, with this overwhelm? So they're shifting their focus to move to what do they actually want, is what I'm hearing from that one. The other side I'd want to sort of hit you on too here is, what if it's going really well, it's going like extremely well, but they kind of get bored almost. Like, here's an example of this, because in surfing, I'll use surfing again because it's very clear to understand. Let's say I did a surfing competition back in the day and did a pro event and did well in the event. The next day, often the next event would start, and this is the way it is for a business owner. It's like it's a never-ending event, but at least I had a clear cut and I might get a trophy and a paycheck at the end of the day, and it's like, yee-haw, that's quite motivating. However, it's still hard to get back up the next day and go, here we go again. You know, we're starting again now. Didn't I just win that thing? Kind of, you know, can I have a break or something? But then it's like, let's go again. What do you think on that? Like, what could be some advice for someone in that kind of situation?
Yeah, and actually, I'd love to reflect back on you. How did you manage that? I mean, as a pro surfer, you go from circuit to circuit. How did you deal with that situation?
Yeah, well, look, sometimes I would go, okay, it was just like getting through the first couple of days. Like, sometimes that's just the honest answer. I might be like, oh, okay, let's just get through. As long as I get through the first one or two days, I'd know there was a little bit of a dip there. Maybe that was just even in recognizing it in myself, and I made it through. Like, say if it was a Sunday afternoon and you've finished a competition, you've done very well, the next event starts at, it's like starting at round one again. It's almost like starting at ground zero again the next day on the Monday. And it can be like, oh, I just did well in France and now I've had to zip to Portugal and here we go. I'd sometimes recognize if I can get through, you know, just get through the first one or two days, then I'll be fired up again because I knew I was kind of coming. Like I realized, I guess I'm not always totally up and down. Then I would do things in my own head as well where I would put on music. I would look at the surf, even if the surf was terrible and I have to get off my ass and get out there and try and perform at my best, I would just look at the waves and start getting excited about them. So that's in that setting. Like I might be looking at a terrible wave and go, oh, how good's that? And imagining what I'm going to do on the wave and kind of build up, like manufacture my excitement within myself. So because it wasn't there, you know, it wouldn't be there at the start of the day and I'd know it, just get excited about it. Everyone's in the same boat, but if I'm more excited than they are, I'm probably going to do a better job. So there's just a couple of little interesting things. I've never actually really thought about it in that much detail. But yeah, that's definitely something I kind of tend to always do, is get excited about what the situation is in front. And that's obviously rolled across the business as well.
And the examples that you've given me there are perfect. And let me pull on some of the psychological things that you did to make it happen, because we can really make that real for the business owners and how to apply it in the business. So I think there's three questions that we're asking all the time then. Number one is, what will I focus on? And you may want to write these down because it's going to be super powerful for you, because this is happening in every second of every day. What will I focus on? What will I make this mean? And what will I do about it? So what will I focus on? What will I make this mean? And what will I do about it? So you gave a really great example, Christo, because you could be sat there. You could be focusing on the fact that the waves aren't very good. You can make it mean like, oh, it's going to be terrible. It's going to be hard work to go out there and perform and do a great job because the waves are so bad. Right, and then what are you going to do about it? You probably just get grumpy and sit there and be grumpy or unhappy about it, right? That could be one thing that you can do. But of course, in any given situation, there's many different things you can focus on. You could focus on the fact that, hey, I'm actually in Portugal and the sun's shining and it's just such a great place to be. I could be stuck doing something I don't like being in an office, right, which I really wouldn't enjoy. Instead, I get to live my life traveling around the world surfing, right? And you focus on that, and then you can feel that excitement coming through, because you can then make that mean, hey, I get to live the life that I want. I get to go and do the things that I want. And you know, this is going to be fun. I'm going to get paid to go out here and ride these waves. And of course, if you shifted your focus in that way, you would get a very different feeling and get a very different outcome. You would take a very different decision. And so you did that in a number of ways. And in terms of your focus, you did focus on the waves, but you shifted your focus by getting yourself a little bit more upbeat by listening to some music. Okay, and you got yourself focused that you're going to go out and do a better job than other people, right? And so by shifting that focus, it actually shifts how you felt and what action would take. Let me give a different example in a working environment, right? So I want to give an example about when I worked in a corporate organization. So I was a senior financial executive, and I had my two colleagues would sit next to me, and our boss, the group CFO, would walk by the desk occasionally. Now, one day he walked by the desk, he had his papers under his arm, and he just kind of kept his head down, he walked by, and he didn't speak to us. Now, all three of us in the same situation had the experience of him walking by and not speaking, but we all chose to focus on something very different. We all chose to give it a different meaning, and then we all chose to take different actions as a response. Now, when he walked by and didn't speak to us, I was there first. I thought, oh, he must be busy. He must be on his way to his next meeting. Maybe I should check in with him later, see if he needs any help with anything, right? That would be my focus. And then, of course, what I made it meant. The person next to me, they thought, oh my God, he didn't speak to me. Well, that must mean that the report I handed in to him last night wasn't very good. Well, and if it wasn't very good, then he's probably going to fire me. And if he fires me, then I'm not going to pay the kids' school fees. And how am I going to pay the rent? Oh.
Yep.
And of course, they spent the rest of the afternoon stewing on it, not being very effective at their work. And the person on the end looked at him and thought, wow, that dude really needs to get laid, right? Now, you imagine all three of the same situation all give it very different meaning. And I think this is what happens in life. Top performers don't get stuck for too long on the negative, on the thing that's not going to serve them. Instead, they shift their mindset and their focus onto what's the best I can make out of this situation? How can I get an outcome here? How can I, so they're more focused on what's going to move them forward to their goal. Now, the key thing in this, the reason why they do that, and they may not do this consciously, but the reason they do that is because they are so clear on their goal. They know exactly where they go and they know exactly what they want to accomplish, and they're very focused on it. They're not multitasking on 50 million different things. They know exactly what their goal and their outcome is, and that's their focus. That's where they're putting their time and their energy. Now, because they're putting their time and their energy and their focus on it, then of course, if something comes up, an obstacle comes up, they're just going to find a way around it. They're going to get that because they're very clear on their outcome. They know exactly why they're going to keep pushing towards it. So does that answer the question?
Very cool. I can see that too in settings where you've just mentioned where things could be going bad. Some people will take that as fuel and others will take it as it was almost like a clarifying reason why they should stop or stand back, like, or stand down from something, which is very interesting. Like I know for ourselves in business, and I see it obviously working with hundreds of different businesses now, sometimes people have a knockback and it'll stop them. Like it'll almost like make them think, oh, I don't know if I should be doing this, and they stress about it and they lose sleep. And whereas other businesses I've worked with, I've seen them get a knockback or a competitor's popped up and it's just made them step up to a whole new level. It's like they've pulled the finger out and focused, and or finally just jumped on like what are the top priorities to really make this thing work. I had one, I won't share what the business was, but the one that we're working with had an area, like a location which they could use, and you had to get the council permission to use this location, like a tender to use the area and pay a fee and so on. And another business popped up and said, hey, can we kind of share the area with you? And they're like, oh, yeah, okay, fair enough. That's okay. You're not really a direct competitor. You're sort of offering a different service, kind of similar, but we'll say yes and let the council say, we'll say support you to pop up. Then the other business suddenly started booming, the one that came in and had this whole new level of marketing that these guys had never seen. You could have gone off and cried about it and bitched and moaned and gone to council and tried to fight it that way, but instead they just basically came to us and said, look, we need to ramp this stuff up rapidly. I'm just seeing what's possible here. And their business it probably quadrupled within the next, maybe 6 months, at least to a year, which was pretty phenomenal. Like they never would have ever probably gone to that level if they hadn't had the competition sort of suddenly, they thought, oh, we let them in being nice, and then suddenly they were going to crush us. And not that they were exact competition, but it sort of appeared that way suddenly. And it just an interesting example that I don't think they would have ever grown so big and to be so successful if they hadn't have had something that appeared as, potentially a knockback, or suddenly they're going to get squeezed out of their location, or it's an interesting one. I think sometimes those setbacks kind of fuel us.
100%. And like the adversity or a problem is, we can accept as business owners, problems are a sign of life. If you have problems, that's fantastic because it gives you something to resolve. You're a problem solver as a business owner. If you have no problems right now, you're dead, right? Because we always have problems. Key thing is, are we going to be creative? Are we going to resolve them? As you're talking, you reminded me of Richard Branson. I read his biography like many, many years ago, and I think it might be Losing My Virginity. And he talks about that. He had some troubles. He was doing some tricks with the tax and the exporting of his records. And he ended up getting in trouble with the UK tax office. And he owed them quite a lot of money. And he explains in the book that it was probably fortunate that he owed them so much money. Because he owed them the money, he either had to pay them or go to prison, right? So that gave him the incentive and awesome. The motivation that he had to figure out. He had to make a way. And I remember like the thought or the recollection in the book was that if he didn't go ahead and do that, if he didn't find a way to do it, if he didn't overcome this problem with this obstacle, it would be more pain. So I think you're entirely right. If we can see the situations or the problems as to our advantage, is being, you know, someone's given us this challenge to overcome because it's going to make us better, it's going to make us stronger. If you give it that meaning, then you're going to grow. Back to Carol Dweck's growth. If you give it the meaning that life's too hard and I'm going to be a victim about this, then you could be the person left with like reasons why you didn't get your outcome. So yeah, I really love that example, Christo.
Awesome. What do you think? So what are some things or like how to's that someone listening could do? Like if they're listening, okay, cool. I'm digging it. I see I can shift my focus to define what I take from an event. Like an event was negative and I can use it as fuel to fire me up, or I can use it to kind of cry about and get all knocked down. If I try and just shift my mindset to what I want as the outcomes you said before, what would be the kind of like the steps if someone's just day to day, or something that they could exercise, like in your opinion, like how does someone continually improve their mindset? Let's maybe put it that way. Like how could I exercise? And it could be things we've already just discussed, but just to make it really clear, like what should I do basically in your opinion?
Yeah. Okay. I think that's great. So knowing that you've got a clear objective, like let's go back to, I just want to make sure we drum that one in. You've got a clear focus, right? Where am I going? What am I going to accomplish? So when I spoke to the world champion boxer and I was coaching her, she knew she was going to be the world champion. No one was going to stop her. That was her focus, right? Very clear on where you're going. So if you know where you're going and you know why you're going to get there, like the why is important because you need that emotional fuel, that emotional juice. If you get, I've seen this so many times, my clients will get to their goals or their outcomes. They'll achieve something major, right? They have the dream house. They have the car. They've actually moved out of their dream house to an even better house than they can imagine. And then they won't be fulfilled. Right, because it's not just about success, it's about fulfillment. So not just knowing what you want to focus on in terms of achievement, in terms of your business, but focusing also on what you want to feel. Let's go after those feelings as well. What's going to bring you fulfillment? How will you be fulfilled? Sometimes that's having a higher purpose to go towards. Sometimes that's, you know, achieving something for others. Like what's going to give you that feeling or juice you to get there? Sometimes it might even be the accomplishment itself, but knowing what you want and knowing why you want it, I think that's the really key piece. But then, Chris, so to answer your question, I think it's then getting clear on the action plan. What are the things that I'm going to do to get there? What are my action steps? Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned before earlier a little bit about overwhelm. Like that can happen as business owners. We get so many things to do, or the thing that we need to do looks so big, we don't know where to begin. So I think there's perhaps two key things then to help if you're feeling that way, if you're feeling stuck, overwhelmed, if you're feeling like you're in that place where this problem's got the better of you. I want you to break it down. I want you to think of how do you chunk this in a different way. There's a question. Write down this question because it's a really powerful one to help you. You can ask, what one thing, if I did it now, would have the biggest positive impact on my results or my goals, this thing I'm trying to achieve. So what one thing, if I did it now, would have the biggest positive impact on my results? If you focus on that one thing, and I mean focus on that, don't multitask, on focus on that one thing, deliver that one thing, right? And then ask the question again. And if you keep doing that repeatedly and keep focusing on the one thing that's going to have the biggest positive impact on you, you're going to make so much progress and chew through those problems very quickly.
Awesome. Yeah, this is awesome. That is a super powerful question. What's the one thing? Most people's to-do list is more than one thing. It's like, which one list should I start with? Should I start with the list that's on that envelope there, the one that's on a receipt over there, or should I start with the one in my but defining the one thing that's going to make the biggest impact. We get a lot of amazing feedback from you. Like for the listeners, Kevin works with a lot of our high-level clients through Basic Bananas, at Basic Bananas, and coaching these business owners to elevate things, take things to the next level. And the feedback's phenomenal. Like basically, it might be someone that's early days in business, or it might be someone that has a whole chain of stores or shops or whatever their business model is. to take them to the next level. And these are people who sometimes are very successful already. So I imagine these things that you're sharing right now, because some of the listeners might be thinking, okay, but it's too early for me, or it's, you know, or I'm already at, you know, 50 stores or whatever, or a bigger business that's doing $20 million. However, every single thing you're saying applies across the board, right?
Yeah, 100%, 100% across the board. And you're entirely right. I've had those people who are about to start a business, and I think that's great because we can get you in the right mindset from the beginning, get you with the right focus so that you're setting up those behavior and those patterns and those habits that are going to lead you to success and the outcomes. And then on the other end of the scale, I've got clients whose businesses are doing in the hundreds of millions, you know, and they're having, or their personal wealth is in the hundreds of millions. And of course, they can still have the same challenges we do. You mentioned earlier about, you know, you think once people get to the top and they are top performers that they don't have those doubts. They have them equally as much. And I think the penny really dropped for me when I was, you know, in a session with the Admiral of the US Navy. And this is a guy who reports directly to the President of the USA, right? He has 300 plus thousand people reporting to him. And he was still having doubts about his next step or the next thing. And the penny really dropped for me, like, you kind of figure that people of that level have it all figured out. But you're right, we're all in that situation. We're all still humans. We all still have uncertainties and fears and doubts. And quite often, that's the one thing that can come in the way. You may be the very best person in your field, in your business, to do what you can do, like strategically, tactically, you know how to do that. But if you've got those fears or those limiting beliefs or those doubts, that can severely hamper your success, you know, cut back your success and your progress. So I think everyone, no matter where they're at in terms of their business life, there's always something that we can work on from the psychology, the mindset point of view, or the strategies to help take them to that next level. There's always another level. Now, regarding that, in terms of taking action, coming back to this chunk size piece and that question, you know, what one thing, if I did it now, would have the biggest positive impact. That's great. I've had clients who've done that and they've got very clear on what their one thing is, and then they still might struggle to do it, right? And as an example, and this comes from a book called The Happiness Advantage by Sean Accor. He had this situation where he knew he had to get healthy for his career. Like, if he wasn't taking care of his health, then he wouldn't be able to perform at the level he needed to perform in his business and his work. But he would set this goal. This one thing was that he would have to get up and go to the gym every morning. But of course, the alarm clock would go off and he'd snooze and whatever else. He wouldn't get up and go to the gym, right? Some of us can recognize that. We've had that experience. And so he has this concept called activation energy, right? He says that the brain, if we're thinking about having to start something and we're feeling like we probably don't want to, he said, it's because we're not making it easy enough to start. So for him in the morning, when he'd wake up, right, if he thought, I've got to go to the gym, oh, I've got to go and get my bag ready, I've got to put my clothes on, I've got to find my gym shoes, I've got to find my drinks, my water bottle, too hard, snooze. Right, so you've got to make the activation energy easy. So, and it's something less than 20 seconds to get going. So he decided he would put his gym shoes and a gym bag next to his bed the night before. He would actually sleep in his gym clothes. So when the alarm went off, right, he could swing his legs around, put his feet in his shoes, and be walking to the door within that like short activation time. It's easy for him to activate and get going. So by the time he got to the door, his brain might go, oh, I'm tired, go back to bed. But by that point, he already had that motion, he already got things going. So if there's something that you've been needing to start, wanting to start, it feels too hard, too difficult, then let's look at this activation energy piece. What can we do to make it easy just to get started? Because I'm pretty sure once you get started, then you're going to get the momentum and the ball's going to get rolling. So if there's anything you've been holding back on, what's the activation energy piece? What's the thing that we can just get started now?
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's really, really cool, because I see that all time and time again. It's usually the first step to do anything that's the hardest part. Like especially exercise is a really clear example. For me, it's surfing. If the surf's not amazing, I might look at it and I'm sitting there thinking, can't be bothered. I'll find every reason to talk myself out of it. But the hardest part's actually just walking out, like putting on my board shorts or putting on a wetsuit. But once I'm in the water, I'm like, oh, this is amazing. Like, as I'm sure in that example, once he's at the gym, probably felt amazingly fulfilled and feeling amazing. that first step can be the killer.
Yeah, just to get you going, and it's so important. And if you focused in that situation, not on the surf doesn't look great, but if you focus on that feeling that you spoke about being on the water and what it's like, if you could picture that in that moment, that in itself might be enough to get you motivated and get you going. Now, with all of these things, Chris, I mean, you're asking about the habits of or the mindset of top performers. If they know what they want, they know why they want it, and they know what action they're going to take, right? That's the important thing. In terms of taking that action, make sure you've got someone around you who's already done what you want to do, or someone who has the roadmap to get you to where you want to go. We can spend our time in life doing trial and error to get to that outcome and get that plan and figuring it out on our own. Or if we can team up with someone who already has the skills and the abilities, you know, that we need, we can reduce, you know, the time it takes massively. And Chris, I guess I recognize certainly within the clever bunch there at Basic Bananas, that's exactly what, you know, your clients come along and do. They know that you have the system and the process in marketing. So why spend time and money trying to figure it out when they can on their own and maybe not getting the results, when they can come get the tried, tested, proven principles from you?
Absolutely. It's like, I love, I'm happy you brought that one up too, because it's, and this is why Kevin's such a valuable member of our team at Basic Bananas, because in my world, there's no shortage of strategies and of how to's that work for people over and over and over, like in zero doubt, you know, that they work because we're doing things day in, day out. However, people sometimes are their own worst enemy, and that's why, you're a good combination because you've got both at hand. You got the strategies, obviously, and then all this, the experience in the mindset and so on, and motivating. So an amazing combination, which is awesome. So that's why, you know, such a valuable part of the community here. And I couldn't agree more. It's people, you need the strategies to follow. Well, you're going to save yourself a lot of time and maybe or never get there. It's like, you know, you want to get somewhere, you use Google Maps because someone's already mapped the path to get there as quickly as possible, rather than walking outside and being too proud and, you know, just wanting to use your, you know, build your own map from scratch. It could be an idea. but, you know, I'm too proud to use anyone else's map, but you probably might get there eventually, wherever you're trying to get to, but it's going to be a lot slower, a lot more heartache, a lot more headaches and trial and error. Someone's already mapped the path to get there as quickly as possible, so you find that knowledge and you leverage it. So I couldn't agree more. Can I just ask, totally, this is just a random question, do you have any like guilty kind of pleasures when it comes to mindset, that's like, or there's something you'll do with any business owners, like if they're just annoyed or they're, you know, or they're feeling down or they're feeling over the top, like, you know, you tell them to bash a boxing bag or listen to some aggressive music, like is there anything on that side of thing, or you yourself, do you have any little like you know, occasionally you need a release or something? Like, just came to mind, so I thought I'd throw this one at you.
Yeah, really great question. And look, it's different for everyone. I know for me, I enjoy just going for a run. That works real well. That gets the energy going. That gets the mind going, and that can shift a lot of things. And I think there's this idea that I have called a pattern interrupt. If I ever have a client arrive and they're angry or they're frustrated or they're sad, right? That's a feeling, it's an emotion that they go to. So I always want to interrupt that. I want to find any way I can break that pattern and get playful with it. So very frequently what I'll do, even at the start of a call, and I know we do this at the start of the workshops as well, even if the client comes frustrated or angry, I'll ask them, what are they celebrating? What have they got to be happy about? What are they celebrating right now? Or even, what are they grateful for? Because if I ask them a question like that when they're in a state of anger or frustration, and they have to think about it, and they come up with something that they're grateful for or something that they can celebrate, then they can begin to see a different side. They begin to focus differently. They get a different angle from it. Even to the extent, I've had couples when they get angry, not even just in business, but they get angry with each other, I'll get one to just ask a random question, like something really weird, like, would you eat a bowl of live crickets for $100,000? Right now, in that moment, it sounds really bizarre and really weird, but it, exactly like that. You just laughed at it because, like, it's random. It's a bit like your brain has to go, what?
Yeah.
And it breaks the state. It breaks the pattern. So any way that I can shift the focus of the business owner away from, you know, the negative situation and help them see a different perspective, that's the key. So going back to those three questions, what am I going to focus on? What do I make this mean? And what will I do about it? Now, if I have a business owner getting frequently frustrated and they arrive with frustration, right, I help them understand, well, why? What is the pattern? Because in any situation, I could be in your situation and I might deal with it, it might be fine, but another person might get stressed, another person might be sad, another person might even be happy, because it's not about the situation, it's about our filter and how we perceive it. So to answer your question, it's going to be back to that focus. Any way that I can help shift the focus of the individual, it shifts what they make the situation mean, and then it shifts how they deal with it. Let me give you one other example of this. I want to go for an extreme example. Have you ever heard of a guy called Viktor Frankl?
No, not ringing a bell at the moment.
He wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning.
Oh, yes. I'm familiar with the book. Yeah.
Familiar with the book. Now, the book, he was during the war held in Jewish concentration camp. Okay, and of course people were dying, they were being treated very inhumanely, right? Now, in those situations, a lot of people were choosing, you know, to focus on like, this is the end, you know, this is terrible, I can't go on, can't do this. He chose to focus on, I've got to get out of here so I can tell the story so this never happens again, right? That was his focus. Even in the same situation, he chose a radically different focus. And he made it mean that he could get out here and change it for the future. He made it mean that he could get out and potentially see, you know, his family again, or he could make a difference. So he had a very different focus, gave it a very different meaning. So in terms of how, in any situation, I think I'm always looking for, how do we shift that focus? And it's just, there's an unlimited amount of ways. We're only limited in shifting the focus by our imagination.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, thank you so much, Kevin, for sharing so freely. And of course, any of the listeners, if you'd like to learn more about working with Kevin, feel free to get in touch with the Basic Bananas team. I know a lot of our members listen to this too. So if you'd like to look at potentially, you know, doing some sessions with Kevin, and don't be shy, get in touch. That's what he's here for. The man is very much in demand. So you give us as much notice as possible if it's something you're looking at doing, because he does get booked out. Sorry to do that to you, Kevin, all the time, but yeah.
It's entirely my pleasure. And actually, I know you're wrapping up. I've got one final point I would really love to share, just as a way to finish the top of the call.
Yes, please.
I think if we've spoken about that, knowing what you want, knowing why you want it, getting a clear plan and taking action, making sure you're staying focused on the things that have you moving forwards. The final piece really in all of that, Christo, is actually just noticing your results, noticing what you're getting. So you need some way to measure what's happening. Now, a key piece I want to share with you in this is, because if we can measure it, we can manage it. If we can see what's happening, if we have a quick feedback loop, then we can get into that state of flow. We can actually make new decisions very quickly. And I think that's a fundamental piece of top performers. They don't just take action and then hope it's all going to work out. They measure the results and make changes on the way through. And there was this this experiment done. I can't remember the name of the guy who did the experiment, but he basically got a packet of spaghetti, okay, uncooked, a marshmallow, and it was either some string or some sticky tape. And he gave that to some different groups, right? And he gave it to some groups of CFOs, some CEOs, some top business school graduates. He gave it to some kindergarten kids. He gave it to some top structural engineers. And he said to them, your objective or your goal is to build the biggest tower that's possible to support this marshmallow, right? You can only use the materials, the spaghetti, the string, and the marshmallow, but you've got to build the biggest tower able to support the structure of the marshmallow. And so out of all of those groups of people then, like including top business schools and structural engineers, who do you think managed to build the best tower that was capable of supporting the marshmallow?
Interesting. Probably the teacher's kid who was sitting next to the desk and
exactly. Like the group of kindergartners, right? The younger kids.
Yeah, right.
And like, why did they do that? Because what happened, all those adults were so busy talking about the theory, the idea, you know, they were just trying to work out who had position, who was going to be the leader, who was going to manage it. The kindergartners went ahead, they built a structure, fell over. They built another one, it fell over. They built another one, it fell over. They built another one, it fell over. So by the time limit came up, they had more iterations, they had more goes than anyone else. They failed more than everyone else, but they'd given it a go more and they failed more. So the key message that I kind of take from that experiment, particularly in the key message that I wanted to end on today, like to get into the mindset of a top performer, be a top performing business owner, we want to make sure we're like this kindergarteners. We're trying things and failing fast. We're trying things and failing fast and making sure that we learn from them the whole way through. So one final piece then is fail fast. Don't be afraid of trying these things. Try them on and learn from them. Keep growing, having that growth mindset.
Amazing. Awesome. Very, very wise words to finish on. Thank you very much once again, Mr. Kevin. And we'll definitely have you on future episodes and things to share as well with the community. So thanks, mate.
My pleasure. Catch you next time.
Bye for now. Rocket. To get more from Basic Bananas and to learn new ways to grow your business with clever marketing, visit basicbananas.com.